This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back in. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. One of the great stories to start off the NFL season have been the Baltimore Ravens coming off a 26-14 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers last Sunday in Pittsburgh. This upcoming Sunday, they're in Cleveland to square off against the Cleveland Browns at 1 p.m. Eastern. Let's welcome in the five-time Pro Bowler, is a safety for the Ravens. That, of course, is Eric Weddle, who's kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Eric, thanks for the time. How are you?
Doing great, man. Getting into Cleveland and ready for a division game on the road.
Well, I'll tell you this. Let's first take care of some business on Twitter, because I told a few people around the station we were having you on, and immediately everyone said, I love the Eric Weddle beard. And I said, well, you got to check out his Twitter feed, because he has this Eric Victory ice cream bowl, vanilla ice cream, crunched up peanuts, white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups, double stuffed Oreos, and even a sliced banana. And don't forget the melted peanut butter that you throw on at the end. Just take us through how this ice cream bowl came about after a win.
Well, I mean, everyone kind of knows the infatuation I have with ice cream and desserts in general. So probably started a couple years ago that, you know, I wanted each year you try to sacrifice a little bit and try to change to do a little more to help out, whether it's your individual player or just for the team. And I was like, throughout the week, I won't eat desserts or sugar for that matter. And then if we win, I'll stuff my face full of ice cream and candy and just, you know, make myself sick, because, you know, you earn it throughout the week. You sacrifice a little bit to enjoy those wins. And it's kind of, turned into a phenomena of just people love it. They want to see what I'm going to do every week. And I like it, too, because it's just I get to do what I love, which is win football games and eat some ice cream.
Now, everyone likes to pig out, especially after a big football victory. When you go home, is it just you say hello to the family, then go right to the freezer, the fridge, and just put whatever you have in there into the ice cream bowl?
Well, usually on the way home, I stop by the store, and I'll go to the local grocery store and get a bunch of items and add-ons and different ice creams, and then we'll come home as a family, and the kids get a dig in as well. They make their little bowls and their toppings, and I never really know what I want till after the game, and until I get a good feel walking through the aisles of what I'm feeling ice cream-wise and toppings. So it's always changing week to week.
Talking to Eric Weddle right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The last 2 weeks, you've said that these aren't the same old Ravens, and you guys have backed it up. What makes this team different this year?
This is a resilient, tough group, and it starts with our head coach and, you know, what he preaches and the way he pushes us and the way we compete. And this is a unique group. We're very close. We push each other, and it's one single goal, single-minded. And that's win each week, win the day, win the play. And the struggles we've had over the last few years really have molded our character and our toughness. The adversity we've hit and had to go through has built this team up to where we are now, that we feel we can get through any situation. And, you know, we're going to make it tough on teams that face us. It's going to be 60 minutes, and we're going to grind out wins and play great ball.
Before the year started, I thought you guys were a playoff team, but I was curious to see how some of the players and coaches would respond with a lot of those guys back up against the wall. You mentioned your coach and Coach Harbaugh, you know, Joe Flacco, too. These are big years for both these players. Is the attitude they bring a little bit contagious in your facility right now?
Well, I think it's just a steady, confident, blue-collar, work-hard type attitude. I think it's for everyone. I mean, and me included. Like, look, if we don't play well individually and collectively as a team, then everyone isn't going to be back. So it's not just those two guys. It's everyone. And you play a lot of years in this league, you have to play well and you have to win games to stick around. So I think everyone just came in with the right attitude of one, looking at yourself to get better; two, learn from our mistakes over the years; and then three, push each other that we've never been pushed as far as we can, and look at what you can get. And shoot, I mean, Joe's healthy. Our offensive weapons that we've added, the offensive coordinator being here for the third year for Joe. I mean, a lot of things have happened that the reasons why we're playing well that a lot of people haven't taken notice. But it's definitely been a team effort in the first quarter of the season.
I don't know if you ever get over it, but how long did it take to put aside how last year finished up against the Bengals in that tough Week 17 loss that kept you guys out of the postseason? And did you sense a little bit of some extra motivation in training camp leading up to the start of the season?
I mean, I look at myself as one of the, you know, I'm motivated each year. I don't need what people say or think or plays. I want to be the best, and I want to win. So regardless of what happened, my motivation is always clear. And, you know, as you get older, you tend to deal with losses differently, per se, as a young buck that hangs on to each game. I got a wife and four kids that I love dearly, and they need dad at home. Can't be moping around and not doing my job at home. So I'll always remember the play that held us out, but it doesn't affect who I am and how I live my daily life. I'm going to go out and be me and play my best and live with the results.
You mentioned the family component of it. You had to totally just change coasts when you went from San Diego to Baltimore, and it was, you know, it was a very tough end to your situation in a franchise that you played so many years for. Just how about the adjustment now being your number three, going from San Diego to Baltimore and still having success on the football field as well after the Chargers basically told you weren't good enough?
Yeah, it's been a great 3 years here. I mean, we moved here, we got up, sold our house in San Diego, and moved here full time. And our kids have enjoyed it living on the East Coast. It's this is a great city. It's a football town. The city, the people are amazing. Different diversity, different cultural. So living here the last 2 years have been amazing for us. And it's nothing means more than being happy and being a part of an organization that wants you and believes in you. So it makes me go the extra mile to do my best for them.
And we look at so many situations now around the league of players in the final year of their contract. Le'Veon Bell is one that is right in center. You see the unfortunate injury to Earl Thomas, who elected to come back and play. You know that situation, being in it in your last year in San Diego, and they didn't treat you right with putting you on IR when you said you were healthy, with what McCoy said to you at the end of the year, and then, of course, what happened with the fine, which was just, in my opinion, utterly ridiculous. Just take us through a little bit of that perspective, the business side of it, and what maybe Le'Veon Bell and Earl Thomas have been through this year.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to look at these situations that the player is always the bad guy in these situations, and it's disappointing for me to hear that, because how many times every year hundreds of guys get cut before their contract is up? So when a guy is playing at such a high level like those guys are and want to get an extension, look, Earl just wanted an extension. I don't know the numbers. I don't know anything about that, but talking to him and being there for him, he just wanted to retire a Seahawk like me, wanted to retire a Charger. And when you don't feel that they want that and they just want to use you and get you out of there, how are you supposed to go to work every day? How are you supposed to go into that building knowing that they don't want you around? They just want to use you and move on. So I feel bad for those guys, man, and I feel bad for Earl, the situation he was put in. Looking back at my situation, I wish I would ask for a trade or just not come until the end of the season, because it was miserable every day, and I'm sure it was miserable for him, and he'll come out and say those things. And it's just hard on the players that give everything for the team, and then comes down to it, and you don't feel the same acknowledgement back from the organization. So it's tough, man. It's tough as players, but you live, you learn, you move on, and hopefully those guys will get on their feet and end up in a spot where they're appreciated.
Excellent stuff talking to Eric Weddle right now on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get back to last weekend. That second half, Pittsburgh, right before the end of the first half, gets a score. They tie things up. And then the second half, you make them punt four times. They turn the ball over on downs. And then you guys get a pick. They only had six plays max on a given drive for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second half. Just what clicked so well defensively for your guys' unit in that second half?
Well, I think a combination of of a lot of things. Our calls from our defense coordinator, Wink, called a great game, kept the Steelers off balance. And then, you know, Ben missed a couple throws, whether it's from our looks, the pressure, you know, the timing being off, whatever the case may be, you know, those accumulate to, you know, a few three and outs, and then you get the momentum, and our offense is holding the ball, and their offense is sitting there waiting to get back on the field. And it was a great team effort in all three phases to get that job done on the road in one of the toughest places to play. So obviously it was a huge win for us, and now we got to build off that and get ready for a tough, really good Cleveland team that, you know, the record's showing they could easily have three or four wins right now.
How has Wink, Don Martindale, made this defense even better in year one as the defensive coordinator?
His personality, he's very open. He's honest. I mean, throughout training camp, once or twice a week, he would put on the board of the players' numbers and where they stood on the depth chart, where they stood as on our defense, what we needed to get better at individually. And when you know where you stand and you have a defense coordinator that is about the defense, it's about us as a group, it's not about any individual, you just have a good core belief and core group to your defense. So I just think guys have really gravitated towards that, and we work as one. We work for the ultimate goal of just trying to win games and being the best defense possible, not about any individual. So when your defense coordinator is like that and expresses his love and honesty to you as a player, you can appreciate that as a player and know what you need to work on and know what you need to do to get on the field.
But we'll get to the AFC North matchup coming up this weekend in just a bit. Let me ask you this, though, just from last week. When people looked at the AFC North this year in the offseason, a lot of people, including myself, thought it was going to be the Steelers' division to win just what they've been over the last few years. This Steelers team, there's been a lot of drama and confusion. Did you sense that all on tape or maybe leading up to the game or even during the game about some of the problems that the Steelers are having with being a little bit more than just football personnel?
Honestly, no. I mean, when you're playing, you're in the moment, you're just focused on the play at hand, your job, trying to get the call out, trying to get the defense lined up, trying to stop one of the best offenses in the league. So I think it'll eventually they'll get it going. I mean, they got a great team, and you don't win division titles and gone where they've gone if you don't have a great core group. So I expect them to get going like they usually do, make a run, and it's going to be tight down the finish. Like, they're only four games in, so no one's accomplished anything yet. We're all fighting for the same goal in division champs, and it's going to go right down the wire.
All right, let's get to the matchup on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern when you play the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield has brought excitement and energy, and the Browns have been a nice surprise story this year. How do you try to slow down that offense right now led by Baker?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, they're the second rushing offense in the league, averaging 152 yards a game or something crazy like that. So they got a great offensive line, three amazing running backs. I mean, you know, these guys that are Hyde, Johnson, and Chubb, holy smokes, these guys are talented backs. And, you know, pair that with Baker, who's, you know, just came off a road, his first road game, made a lot of great plays, you know, controversy down the end of the game. But, shoot, you look at this team and their record, I mean, they could easily have 3-1 or 4-0. And this is a talented, tough, they play great on defense, you know, lead the league in turnovers on defense. So we're going to have our hands full, and we're just focused on, you know, the Browns trying to move on from last week. And it was a high point last week, but the Browns they're not going to come in here, you know, waiting for us to get adjusted to the game. They're going to come out and punch us right in the mouth. So we got to be ready and ready for a physical game, run the ball and take some shots. So they present some challenges, obviously offensively, and we got to be ready for everything.
In terms of competitive nature, do you see some Phillip Rivers maybe in Baker Mayfield in terms of how much they want it on a football field?
I don't know. I mean, Phil is one of the best quarterbacks ever. So, I don't know. We'll see how this game goes and how his career ends up. I think he's shown that obviously he can play, and he's got a live arm, and he makes really good decisions and extends plays with his feet and his pocket awareness. So who knows? Who knows what the book on him is going to end up being? But you can obviously tell he loves the game. He's passionate. He plays for his teammates. And everyone you talk to, whether he's played with them in college or teammates now, they love him and will play hard for him. So that shows a great deal of leadership and what guys wanting to play for him.
Well, Eric, we appreciate the time, and we'll be tuning in this weekend to make sure to see if you'll be able to get some ice cream after the game. Good luck in the rest of your preparation. We'll do it again real soon.
No doubt. Thanks for having me on, bro.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.